Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, good evening, good evening. Excuse me, Blog Talk listeners. Thank you for joining us this last Tuesday night of February 2017. You have joined the Ladder House Bible Enrichment Hour, sponsored by the Ladder House in Los Angeles, California, and hosted by Granny's Place. Sister Beverly Beasley is the president. Tonight we want to give a shout out to all our partners, the pastors of the Free Will Baptist Church, Dr. Terry. We want to give a shout out to Pastor Michael Morgan of the Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church, and also the featured speaker tonight, Dr. Shelton Carter. Thank you for joining us. We are more than happy to have you here tonight. We hope your day has been wonderfully blessed and just all good, and hope that everything in your world is fine, and that we are just striving on and on to just praise the Lord and give Him glory and give Him thanks for this wonderful day. We made it through. We thank Him for His mercy. We thank Him for His grace. We thank Him for His love. Tonight, we're going to have the Bible Enrichment Hour brought on by the Ladder House of Los Angeles, California. And their motto mission is, we are a people predestined to restore virtue in a society barren of spiritual and moral excellence. Through a message of the gospel of the kingdom of God and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, it is our endless desire to join a diverse generation for the purpose of connecting and developing other champions. In a technological advanced society, we deliberately create platforms, special events, seminars, conventions, and fellowships in which the wounded and unusually gifted can find aid and a place of appreciation. Our aim is to continuously create an environment of love, unity, faith, and victory in which all can discover the champion within. We invite you to be a part of the important project. Prayerfully consider partnering with us as we build our platform where the true nature of God can freely be experienced and expressed by all. For more information, please send your email inquiries to thelhnetwork@gmail.com. Predestined to Restore. That's Dr. S.D. Carter, founder and national director. Thank you so much again for joining us. I see we have some guests on the line. Would you like to say good evening and hello to our listening audience?
Good evening.
Well, good evening.
Hello to Granny's Place.
How are you this evening?
I'm fabulous, fantastic, elastic, excited, and just glad to be here. Good to hear you on the line.
Amen, amen. I echo that exactly, because it's a wonderful day. It has been a beautiful day in the neighborhood. God has been gracious to us. He has kept us all day. He has guided us. He has led us. He has protected us. And finding all things well on this Tuesday night, the last Tuesday in February of 2017. How about that? It's a good day.
Amen, amen. Yes, it is.
Amen. I can go ahead and give you an opportunity to do your invites and you open up the floor if you like.
Okay, yes, ma'am, that'll be fine. Good evening again. This is Shanine. I'm calling from Los Angeles, California, actually El Segundo, California. Just a reminder and an update. The email information given for Dr. Carter and the Ladder House has been updated to thelhnwork@gmail.com. It is no longer the LH Network. It is thelhnwork@gmail.com.
Okay,
so please send.
ZLHN?
Yes.
Work. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
At gmail.com. Okay. I'm sorry. I did give misinformation. Okay, go ahead. Continue.
Please feel free to correspond with us there. Remember, in the subject line, when you take the opportunity to correspond with Dr. Carter, in that subject line, please stipulate what the email is about and pertaining to. We ask that you take time to just reach out and share with him the things that he has been a blessing to you in, the ways and the things in which he's spoken to your life and things of that nature. And just send us information or send us an email if you like information, because we can give you information on up-and-coming venues where he'll be speaking. And we also ask that you like us on Facebook at Our Ladder House Network. Again, please like us on Facebook at Our Ladder House Network, where you can follow Dr. Carter live stream when he takes the time and opportunity to share in some of the venues that he's able to work in. With that, I don't know who all is on the line. I'd like to take a minute and just have some shout-outs from our Ladder House Network family. Please take a minute, community of Reapers, and say good evening to us here at the Bible Enrichment Hour with Granny's Place.
Good evening, Sister Shanine, as well as Sister Lewis. I'd like to say hello. This is Sister C, calling in from Dallas. And I'd like to make sure I have that email correction, and that's THELHNWRK@gmail.com.
That is correct.
All right, thank you. I just wanted to make sure I had that correct. And love to say good evening to everyone. It's an awesome, awesome time here in Dallas, Texas. We are having definitely springtime, almost summertime weather here. We are it's some kind of little crazy around here as far as the weather's concerned, but I am enjoying it. I saw some bees earlier today. The trees are blooming. I think the whole atmosphere is like confused. But we are having a good time.
Expectation.
Okay. Well, our expectations was of snow, because that's what we normally have at this time of the year. But we didn't get that. So we just kind of accepting what God is giving. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It is great to be able to experience the diversity and know that we are children of the Most High, and He is in control of everything, no matter what it looks like, no matter what's going on, no matter the frustration some of the people in the world might have. When you understand who is in authority and whose you are, you wake up every day with great expectation. You look for miracles. Dr. Carter is teaching us not only how to be live a life of excellence, in which we represent the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ and everywhere we go, but just be about giving, be about being a blessing, and finding ways to help others understand who they are and who Jesus Christ is, and who the person of the Holy Spirit, and how He has released the person of the Holy Spirit to move, to guide us, to lead us, and to share with us in all good things. It's a great and amazing time and place to be here at the Ladder House, to be able to just grow and share and know and love and encourage others to grow into the things they need to grow into. Even with the pruning and the things and the corrections and things that we get, it's still a wonderful thing to be able to know, because that's just a mark that you are doing something, that you're progressively working and trying to do the things that you need to do to better yourself and further yourself in the knowledge and in the not just putting on Christianity, but embodying the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, embodying the Holy Spirit, and letting that rule and reign in your life continually. So it's great. We are excited. We get up every morning for this new day call that we have been blessed to be a part of here at the Ladder House. And that phone number is 605-475-4001. The passcode is 286-890. Again, that number is 605-475-4001. The passcode is pound. You hit the pound or the hashtag 286-890. 0. With that, I'm not sure who else has been able to come on the line. Please take a minute, say good evening to us, as we do here at the Ladder House. The floor is open.
Howdy, howdy. This is Sister Velma calling from Delaware.
Good evening, good evening. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, God is good. No, Tuesdays we go, I take children to the Greek Council, and then they take me. Like I'm talking about taking them. But anyway, so I kept on saying to myself, gotta do something. It's something I'm supposed to be doing. And, you know, that's the best person to talk to sometimes, besides the Lord. You talk to yourself. You're like, girl, what is it you gotta do? Oh, yeah, I gotta get home for a car. So I thank God that we made it home in time and I was able to get on.
God. Amen, amen. We love hearing from our family in all parts of the world for this Bible Enrichment Hour. It's just a great time to be here and to learn and grow. And we thank you for taking the time to say good evening to us. We appreciate it. Anyone else like to say good evening?
Hi.
Hey. How you doing?
Hey, yeah, I got y'all on.
Hey, family. Hello, hello. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, they in there, girl. Yeah, dude, sound like his grandma. How you doing?
Amen, amen. There's no better person to sound like it. No better person to sound like it.
Yeah.
Well, again, we give thanks to God for the...
I was going to say, I'm going to leave that, y'all. They got a lot of noise going on. But I love you guys.
Love you, too. We give thanks to God for the opportunity to be here on the line with Granny Place and this Block Talk Radio. We thank God for just the experience and to be able to be shared with. You'll find us at the Ladder House on Sunday mornings in Los Angeles, California, 1745 West Vernon Avenue. Los Angeles, California, 90062. Again, that's 1745 West Vernon Avenue, Los Angeles, California, 90062. We are there every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. We come into a place of worship, a place where we gather together in expectancy, loving on each other, sharing our love for the Lord. Just a wonderful time that we have in just a worship experience and learning. So if you're in the area, in the Los Angeles area, you know, looking for a place where they can learn more, where they can be loved on and share love, please send them to 1745 West Vernon Avenue, Los Angeles, California, 90062. I'm not sure who else is able to come on the line. And when you come on the line, please say good evening to us.
Did you hear the person at last four digits, 7864 gave a shout out to us? Would you like to say hello again? Because I don't think she heard you. 7864. Okay, Lynn.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure who that was, but good evening. We appreciate having you. Appreciate you taking your time. It's sort of hard for me to hear on this end, but I thank God for you taking the time and saying good evening. We do appreciate you.
Amen. Good evening. Good evening. Dr. Carter.
Good evening. Yes, this is he. Can you hear me well?
Yes, we can hear you.
All right, very good, very good. Good evening, everybody. Praise the Lord. It's a blessing, amen, to be here tonight, be able to share with you all, to talk with you all, to communicate with you all. I think it is an absolute near and dear blessing, amen. I know we don't have long, and so I wanted to say to everyone that is serving and participating and assuring that this great anointing is still doing what God has called it to do, called it for such a time as this and at a time as this. I praise God for you. And I thank God for you. I thank God for all you all that participate and share this great ministry and things that you do too for your absolutely awesome gifts and pleasurable delights before the Lord. And so God bless you. And as usual, God bless your heart and all your parts. Let's look at the Word of God, amen, out of First Chronicles tonight for our Bible enrichment hour, amen. I don't think we'll be long tonight, but we definitely shall be strong, amen, in the Lord. So let's look at, again, First Chronicles. Amen. Glory to God. First Chronicles. Yes, Lord. First Chronicle chapter 13. Amen. And when you got it, say, I've got it.
Amen.
I've got it.
Chronicles. All right. First Chronicle 13. For the rest of you that are still looking. Amen. Matter of fact, skip over two chapters and skip over two chapters. And we'll stay at First Chronicle 13. First Chronicle 13, we'll hit that later. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, First Chronicle 13. Yes, Lord. First Chronicles 13, verse number, amen, 7. Verse 7. So they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah in Ohio drove the cart. Then David and all Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing on harps, on string instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came to Shittim's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, but the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he put his hand to the ark and died there before God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. Therefore, that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how can I bring the ark of God to me? How could I bring the ark of God to me? Father, we bless you and we give you praise, glory, and honor for all things that you're doing. For all things are well, all things are exceptional in your sight, according to your desire and sovereignty towards us. We thank you, Father, that you are leading us, Father, by your still, small voice, directing us, Father, in the path of righteousness in which we should go. We thank you, Father, for the message of the cross you declare is foolishness to those that are perishing. But you said, Father, that it is life for us, the power of God for us that are being saved. We thank you, Father, for this wonderful message of your gospel that you bring to us. From Genesis to Revelation, Father, we thank you for this truth that you give to us. We thank you, Father, that although it is written upon letter, we thank you that the spirit of the word brings forth life. And so therefore, illuminate to us the scriptures today, that you would want to say to us individual by individual. For your word teaches us that your word is spirit and life. So let the life of your word come alive to us today, that we may partake, Father, in this feast of the Spirit that you're trying to minister to us, communicate to us. We thank you, Father, for it now. And in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our Redeemer, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord again. Amen. God had been dealing with me, amen, concerning this particular passage of Scripture. And we have shared with you out of First Chronicles, in which is familiar by way of those that are students of David. You understand, in David's reign as king, he wanted to restore the Ark of the Covenant. And in restoring the Ark of the Covenant, he felt it was a noble thing, it was a great thing to do. and definitely considering what it suggests and represents, which is the presence or the glory of God. And, of course, the presence of God is the thing that makes all the difference in the world. It is the thing that outstandingly sets you apart specifically, amen, outside of all others, the presence of God. This is the difference, amen, between a singer and a singer. This is the difference between, amen, a preacher, amen, and a word from the Lord. It is the presence of God. It is the presence of God that brings forth the illumination, the revelation that the speaker, the teacher is receiving from the Lord that causes them to become something other than what they are, amen, in their own ability. The Bible says concerning Saul, says that he was turned into another man because of the Spirit of God. Once the Spirit of God gets up on a man, he no longer is operating in his own intellect or wisdom, but he's now operating in the wisdom that is beyond this world, that is beyond what is natural, beyond that is which is normal. For those that walk in the Spirit and talk in the Spirit, amen, may not be the most educated, may not be the most astute, may not be the most wealthiest, but it is the presence of God that makes the difference. It sets you apart, sets you aside from all others. There's nobody like you. Nobody could understand you. Seem like wherever you go, amen, after you come out of the presence of God and walk into your day and with your company, the Spirit with you, amen, is that when you walk in places, people identify that there's something different about you. They want to give you favor where others are getting closed doors. Sometimes you're getting kindness, amen, where other people are not. But then also the Spirit, amen, will cause you trouble just because you carry the Spirit of God. You got to understand that it combats, it wars against every other spirit, amen, that is coming against the plan and the purpose and the sovereignty of God. It is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit because he is distinct from all other spirits, and he's not like any other spirit. The word holy, set apart, set aside, sanctified, consecrated, amen, spirit. This spirit, distinct spirit, the Holy Spirit that makes the distinction on my life. It is the Holy Spirit that turns your life from natural to supernatural. It is the Holy Spirit that changes your mind from wrong to right. It is the Holy Ghost, amen, that makes the difference. It was, I believe it, in one place, the request was, Lord, if we're going to go up, he says, how shall we know that we found favor in your sight? This is Moses speaking, unless your spirit, amen, goes with us. If your spirit don't go with us, then we'll just be like any other people on the planet. But when your spirit is with us, your spirit will guard us and keep us when we're going through the valley and the shadows of death. And when we come across strange places and strange episodes, your spirit will be with us. When we come across the Jebusites, the Spirit of God will be with us. When we come across the Philistines, it is the Spirit of God that will be with us. When we come against all the other things that come against us, whether it's the Pharisees or the Sadducees, spirits of religion, spirits of envy, spirits of hate, whatever it is, we believe you'll be with us as you was with your man all the way throughout the Old Testament. We saw you with Moses when you parted the Red Sea. We saw you with Abraham. We saw you with Joshua. We saw you stand at the Jordan on his behalf. We saw you walk with David and destroy army after army. It was the Spirit of God that made the difference, the presence of God. But yet that presence was absent, it was mystic, and it was gone. It had left the people of God. And this presence that had left the people of God, David wanted it back. And David understood that if he got the Ark of the Covenant, it was as he was getting God himself, because it was very well known that the Ark of the Covenant was symbolic again of the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant again was a wooden box made out of shittim wood, and this wood, amen, was overlaid with gold. It was overlaid with gold, the shittim wood, and this box overlaid in gold, and in that box it had the Ten Commandments, the Pentateuch, the Torah, the law, amen. It had some of the manna, amen, that was from heaven. This Ark of the Covenant was carried. It had poles on the sides that they carried this Ark of the Covenant, and these poles were the budding rod of Aaron. Those were the rods, amen, Moses had in the wilderness. You know, God began to produce buds out of the rock from that rod, amen, proving Israel's fruitfulness.
and therefore, but also it was a rod of correction, amen. And these were all, amen, part of the Ark of the Covenant. Again, the Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of the Spirit of God. And so the Spirit of the presence of God symbolically is symbolized by a wooden box overlaid with gold, having poles on each side of it, having articles in the inside of it, the showbread, amen, which speaks of the revelation of God, had the Pentateuch or the law, amen, which represents the word of God, amen, its richest form. But then also it had two cherubims, which were angels, that were on top of the box, and they had wings that were facing one another. And the angels were the messenger or the message. And between the messenger's wings, there was this flame that resided. And it was a flame that no man lit. It was a flame that wasn't maintained by gasoline. It was a flame that stayed lit by God himself. And so whomever had this box that was overlaid in gold, that had these poles with on the side of it, with these two angels facing one another, and with the flame residing between them all, recognized that they didn't just have some box that was a nice piece of furniture that looked very well up on amongst holy people or people presuming to be holy. But this thing represented something far greater, amen, than natural means. This thing, this box, it represented the presence of God, the Spirit of God, the thing, and it was symbolic. So much so that all the way down to the box within, it held its truth. It was a box, a wooden box. The wooden box represented the humanity of man. Humanity. It was a gold that was overlaid, and it represents God's divinity. And it talks about, again, his divinity and his power, because, again, I don't care how righteous you are, there is none right in you unless you're covered, amen, by God's righteousness, robed in his glory, robed in his riches, robed in his divinity, and recognizing and respecting that with all that divinity all around you, that underneath there's this wood, there's this humanity, this vulnerability. Underneath there is this thing that is weakened and feeble at times, but it's overlaid with gold, and overlaid with gold meaning that it was stern and it was steady. And not only was stern, it was steady, but it was polished and it was glistening and glowing, and it suggested a thing. We understood that it was the gold that was on top that brought its beauty. It was the thing on top that brought its sturdiness. It was the thing that covered your humanity. But within it, it had the word of God, the revelation of the Spirit, the showbread. This was the bread that was set out for the priest, amen, that only the priest could eat of, that was recognized as the showbread. It was the bread that was called the bread that was setting before, or the bread that set before, and it's set in the dimension of the tabernacle. Remember in the wilderness, you had the tabernacle, and it was patterned, it was type and shadow. You had the outer court, you had the inner court, and then you had the holies of all. And each one of those courts had significant details and suggestions within those courts. And in one dimension, there was the showbread. And the showbread, amen, is where the priest would come in, and the priest would eat of this bread that had been set out before him. And the reason that it was called the bread that was set before, because the bread was set before the priest got to the bread. I'm going to say it again. It was called the bread that was the bread that was set before, or the setting before bread that was set before the priest, and it was set before the priest showed up or got to the place of the bread. And again, this bread was the show bread, which was a revelation of the manna in which they received from the heaven, where God said, I'll give you, as it relates to your purpose, I'll give you your daily bread. I'll give you your daily revealed revelation on what it is that you need in order for you to get to where you need to get to, and understand that I've already set or sent this word before you got to the level of the word, or before you got to the destination of the word. But understand that this revelation is not on the outside, but this revelation is on the inside. And if you're going to get this bread, you're going to have to go from the outer court, step onto another dimension, and eat of a bread that you didn't make with your own hand. It's another piece of revelation. It's another piece of life. It's another piece of instruction. It's another piece of what you need to get to the next level. And it's been set before you. before you, if it's been set before me, then it might mean that this bread, amen, that's on the inside of this box that represents the presence of the glory of God is calling me. It's pulling me to something, bringing me from something, introducing me to something else, because I'm becoming more, even whether I recognize it, whether I want to, whether I decided to. It's this thing within my humanity that's covered up by divinity that has something on the inside that's pulling me on the outside and drawing me to something that is greater. I don't know about you, but I feel like something greater is drawing me these days. I feel like there's another revelation that's coming my way. I believe that this thing is calling me. And as I told you before, those that had the Ark of the Covenant, those that had the presence of God, those that walked in the Spirit, they were solidly different than every and anything else because of the presence of God. And it was the presence that made the difference. How do you know that you're increasing in the presence? Because you feel that word drawing you and calling you even beyond your humanity, calling you beyond your limitations, calling you beyond the things that prohibit you in the past. It is something calling you. It is the revelation of God's truth being revealed to you concerning your destiny. And he declared to you last week, he said, no longer do I call you servants, but I call you friends. In other words, I'm going to dismiss all the times, amen, where I just commanded you to see if you would obey me. Now you've proven that you obey me, and now I'll begin to talk to you about some of those intimate details of your life so that I can make sense of some stuff so that you can walk in my glory on another level. When you learn to accept your humanity, it's only wrapped up in my divinity, which makes you a little better than what you was the day before. Your spirit, Lord, I need your presence. We need the presence of God. I don't know about you, but we need the presence of God. This is, we know we need the presence, because when we don't have the presence of God, things happen that normally wouldn't happen, amen, unless you have that presence. And so tonight we're talking about introducing or getting this presence back in upon our lives in a rich and in a heavy way, if you would. A rich and a heavy way tonight. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you tonight? Amen. And so here David is trying to restore the ark. Amen. And as he was trying to restore the ark, he had a couple attempts, well, one attempt prior, amen, to actually successfully doing so. I'm going to ask someone to mute their line out, amen. You're driving or something, and we're getting your movement. And so, again, David failed in his first attempt to restore the Ark of the Covenant. And sometimes we all fall short, amen, of the glory of God, or fall short of the things that we intended or tried to accomplish, amen, in the Lord. But we don't quit there. We get back up, and we try it again, amen. We try it again. We all have sometime in life have been presumptuous, have been misled, or just kind of got before the Lord. Amen. But that's not the time, amen, to give up and throw in the towel. I think you should get back up and do it again. Amen. Because if God is in your heart and who he is, what you want, and you're after him, I believe that you're going to go after him with all of your heart, all your mind, all your spirit, all your soul. Amen. And if it's in you, it's in you. You're going to keep going for it. Amen. The only reason you gave up on it because it wasn't really in you in the first place. Amen. But when it really get in you, sometimes you want to quit. Sometimes you want to lay down. Sometimes you want to lay out. But that thing, amen, that you're after, that's been birthed by the Spirit of God, which is bigger than you, keeps calling you. He keeps calling you. And so, amen, bless the Lord. It calls you. Amen. Anybody feel like something bigger than you calling you these days? Amen.
Amen.
It's calling you. Calling him. He says this, he said he's trying to get back the Ark of the Covenant. And David, amen, and I want to chronicle, amen, the story, amen, for you as it is. So let's rehearse and see where David missed the steps. The first thing is the Bible says in verse 1 that David consulted with the captains, thousands and the hundred, with every leader. And David said to all the assembly of Israel, if it seems good to you, and if it is of the Lord our God, let us send out to our brethren everywhere who are left in all the land of Israel, and with them to the priests and the Levites who are in their cities and their common lands, that they may gather together to us. And let us bring the Ark of God back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul. Then all the assembly and that said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihar in Egypt to as far as the entrance of Hamath to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. David and all Israel went up to Baalah and to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, in to bring up from there the ark of God the Lord, who dwells between the cherubims, where his name is proclaimed. So they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Amminadab and Uzzah, and Ahio drove the cart. Then David and all Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing on harps, on string instruments and tambourines, on cymbals and with trumpets. When they came to Shiddon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen had stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he put his hand to the ark, and he died before God. He died before God because he put his hand on the ark. He put his hand on the ark. He died there because he put his hand on the ark. The ark of God, the holy thing. That represents the presence of the Spirit of God. David inquired of the Lord. He said, you know, he inquired of the people. He asked the people, he said, if it seemed good to you all that we would bring back the ark of God, how awesome would it be for us to get the presence of God back amongst us, to get the glory of God upon us again? We need his presence so bad that we'll just go after it. And no matter what it is we need to do, we'll get after it. No matter what we got to do, we'll get after it. I just want the presence of God. And this is the ambitious saint and believer, that they just want God so much, and I understand that you want him. And I understand that you want to walk with him and talk with him and him be with you. But the reality is, I've learned that everybody that is that hungry and thirsty for God is not really that hungry and thirsty for God, because when you get hungry and thirsty for God, you get hungry and thirsty for his ways and his how-tos. David said in one place, he said, teach me thy ways, O Lord, and your statutes, and I will observe them with my whole heart. If you teach me your ways, teach me your statutes, teach me how you do a thing. The Bible says that Moses knew God in a way that the people, the children of Israel saw his acts, but Moses, the scripture says, knew his ways. They knew God's ways. God has ways. He has a way that things are supposed to be done. The Bible says that there is a way that seemeth right, amen, unto the Lord. But if there's a way that seemeth right, then there must mean that there must be a way that must not be right. And but there also must be a way that is right. And there's how to do this thing. I know that oftentimes we believe that because we are emotional or erratic or energetic even, that that we will apprehend God in a way that others don't get him, because we are moving vehemently in passion, amen, if you would. But if you look at the earlier part, scriptures, after David had, after they had decided to go after this presence, amen, of God, the Bible said that they were playing tambourines and string instruments, and they weren't just playing them, but the Bible said they were playing with all their might, they were playing with all their strength. I mean, they were really going for it. And I've been at some of them churches, amen, and where they have those services, them 3:30 anniversary choir day service, and it's like, I mean, you done seen the people, they be going for it. I mean, they're going for broke, throwing tambourines all over the place, clapping hands real hard. I mean, they're going for it. Amen. And it seems like there's a lot of energy in the room, but just because there's a lot of energy in the room doesn't mean that the Holy Ghost is in the room. And what we do is oftentimes in our circle, we substitute the energy for the Holy Spirit, and you can't substitute energy for the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's some energies that build crowds and moved into the place of murder. So just because you got energy doesn't mean that you got God. But if you're going to have God, sometimes you understand that God is not always in the earthquake, and he's not always in the thunder. He's not always in the rambunctiousness of a thing. But sometimes you got to know God in the stillness of quietness, and you got to learn how to just chill and relax and let God be God. And because I found out that most of the people that act like that get in God's way often, and they try to be God and do God for God, but you don't need to do God for God. You need to do you as you and learn his ways. And when you learn his ways, you understand you don't have to expend all that energy sometime. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that there is a way to do this thing now. There's a way. They're energetic. Their presentation is energetic. Not only is it energetic, but it is arrayed in shape, form, and fashion. They took the Ark of God, the thing that symbolized the presence of God, and they put it on a brand new cart. A brand new cart. They had new curtains on the annual day. They had the carpet cleaned on that day. They wanted to make sure that it looked good, for if it looked good, they felt it would be good, especially if they gave all their energy to the thing that looked a certain way. In other words, they were more concerned about the look of it, thinking that because it looked good. You'd be surprised how many people are in situations because of how it looks. And when it ain't looking like you think it should look, what happens is you don't have what it takes to get to the other side, because the Bible says that this ark, it got to Shittim's threshing floor. And when it got to Shittim's threshing floor, the oxen stumbled. And which means that the ark had to shake. There was some movement from the ark now. When the oxen stumbled, then the foundation in which this ark was on did as well. And so now the presence of God is at question and in concern, because it's on the ingenuity of man and not the requirements of God's standard. So much so that when this oxen stumbled, the Bible says that the anger of the Lord was aroused. When there is an arousing of anything, there is an accumulation of all. So when there's accumulation, here's accumulation of offenses. These offenses are building now. The first offense was, as David said concerning the ark of God, he said to the people, he said, if it feels right to you all. In other words, he said, let's take a vote on this matter. Let's call a trustee meeting. Let's see what the deacon board has to say. I'll tell anybody everywhere. I said, we don't get to vote on what God has said. We do what God has said in my ministry. There will be never be a deacon or a trustee tell me that we got to vote about anything that God is doing, because the church of God is not a democracy. The church of God is a theocracy. It's a theocratic order. There is not a democracy. We don't get to vote on this. We don't get to have it. You don't get to have it your way. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? And that's one of the first things you got to understand, especially when you're talking about walking in a corporate presence of the Lord. Because whatever God is going to do, he's going to do it through speaking to and through one person, one individual. When God gives information, when God gives vision, God don't give vision to committees or boards. God gives vision to one person. One person. Habakkuk set aside with a burden from the Lord, went to God in intimacy and prayer, and therefore he said, I will wait upon my watch to see what he says to me. And when the Lord answered me, he said to me, write the vision, make it plain, so he who reads it can run with it. Run with what? Run with what God just said to me. What God just said to me, tell Abraham, hey, Abraham, I'm going to bless you and your descendants. I'm going to bless those that bless you. I'm going to curse those that curse you, because I'm blessing you, and the blessing is upon you, because you are my man of vision. And I gave you vision, I gave you purpose, and I gave you strategy. David was one man. You remember he fought lions and bears in his career, and then he later on, when he became the king, he started fighting those lions and bears, and the same lion and bear that he was fighting before, amen, almost destroyed him, almost killed him. And his man says, his men said this, they said, don't you realize that you're worth more than 10,000 lives? In other words, because of who you are, that God can produce 10,000 men, but 10,000 men can never produce one man of God with vision. Not one. And when God's beginning to do something significant and powerful, he's speaking to one. He's really revealing vision to one. But yet David is a flimsy, insecure, rejected, disheartened leader. And he comes and he goes, he says, if y'all think it's okay, how do y'all feel about this? Instead of just saying, hey, troops, this is where we're going today. Line up. Let's march. This is where we're going. This is where we're headed. If you're going, come on. If not, I'm gone. Because I know what God is saying. What he told Moses in the wilderness, he said, by the day, I'm going to lead you by a pillar of cloud, and at night, I'm going to put a pillar of fire. And I'm not leading the people. I'm leading you. If you can see the cloud, then I'm going. If you can see the fire, that's where we're going to be at. And where you go is going to lead not only you, but it's going to take several others into places of promise, victory, and authority. Noah! Take two animals and take them two by two. Take your sons and your daughter, everything that is in covenant with you. Take your sons and their wives, and I want y'all to get on this ark. And when you get on this ark, Noah, I want you to understand that I'm going to shut the door, and I'm going to shut the door behind Noah. Noah. So whoever ain't on board, when Noah get on, is all in trouble because I'm really only taking Noah to safety. And whoever's walking with Noah, I'm rocking with them because that's my man who I done put some vision in. Don't you know that there's something that God is doing in your life that is just not isolated to you or for you, which means that you are responsible for how you move. And when you move wrong, then other people are affected by the thing that you do because of your miscalculated steps. And you got to be careful, especially when you are the one that the glory was intended for. David was intended for the glory. He was the purpose for why God wanted to be with him. But David was questioning and asking campaign questions and politically trying to get approval from people. And if you're going to walk with God, you got to first dismiss that people-pleasing attitude you've been walking in. Because to walk with God, you will not make people happy all the time. And so therefore, you can't be trying to make them happy and trying to get them, amen, to be on your side. You are not a politician. You are a woman. You are man of God. Yeah. David was asking, what can we do? What should we do? What y'all think about it? And it seemed right to them. And so then everybody else start throwing their ideals in there. Well, I think that we should do this, and I think we should do that. I think that you should wear black and white and get their white gloves and put their badges on the side. And then I think that we should all march around the church like this. And then I think, y'all understand what you think, honey, but what did God say? Because he ain't thinking nothing. He's doing everything that has already been done. And when you violate his theocratic order and his structure and what he wants to do, he has to sometimes dismiss and chastise. Why does he have to do that? He has to do that so he can bring correction in alignment to his sovereignty, because he cannot afford that you mess up his will, amen, not just in your life, but in somebody else's life. And you have to understand, if you are a ministry, a group, or corporation that is designed for the glory of God, what you do don't just affect you, but it affects some other movement in God, and God can't let you upset his end-time plan, amen, because he's not just the God of your church. He's not just the God he's not just the job of your God of your city, but he is the God of the globe, and he has a universal plan that he is working, and he needs you to act like you've got some sense. How do you act like you get some sense? You get rid of your sense, and you trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. You acknowledge him in all of your way, and you trust that he will direct your path. He will direct your path. I know you don't think that maybe God is speaking that in my life. I know you may not agree with everything that God is trying to say to me. But, honey, let me tell you something. Half the time, I don't agree with God. But I've learned that it's better to go with him than to rebel against him, because every time I rebelled against him, it just didn't turn out altogether the right way. Every time I made a decision without consulting him first, my goodness, it ended up disastrous. But God said there is a way that seems right. I know that you think this is cute, and I know that you think this is popular, but just because it's popular doesn't mean that it has been approved.
Right. Amen.
Oh, God. And we have to stop leaking. So we got to stop searching popularities. being liked, being agreed with, because trust and believe, if whoever walks in the Spirit of God as you do, the Spirit will bear witness with his Spirit, and therefore you won't have to try to prove a thing when God has spoke to you. When God has spoke to you, even those that don't understand what he's altogether saying, know that the Spirit is with them.
Amen.
They got to know. They put this ark on a brand new cart, and now this user reaches out his hand after they come to sit on a stretching floor with the ox and stumble. He reaches his hand out to try to prevent the fall of the ark. And God says, I don't need you to hold me up. I hold you up. I'm trying to robe you in my glory, but I see you all had a better ideal than I had. And so because you did not do it the way that I said do it, y'all having problems now. There's a death now. Yous have been struck dead because he violated not his hunger, desire, or appetite, but he violated the principle. A lot of us are violating the principles. The principle. Because we're moving in what we think. We're moving what is popular. Now we're coming to defining moments where we're finding out that, hey, we got to make some alterations because this oxen done stumbled along the way. There's a bump along the road. Something in what we've done didn't turn out so well because Deacon User, who was a good man, he didn't do anything malicious. That was a kind gesture that he made. The oxen stumbled, the ark almost fell. He went to catch it, and shazam, God killed him. God's anger was aroused. Upset God. God is upset. David, the Bible says, was frustrated with God. He became angry with God, the Bible says. Because God struck Uzzah dead. He said, wait a minute, God. This man was an officer in my church. And he was only assisting me. He is assisting me with my ideal. I had a good ideal. And the man was helping me with my ideal, God, and you kill him. God said, what you don't understand is it was a good ideal, but it was a good ideal that was out of order. And this is the thing that we miss with God. We have our own way of doing a thing. And we've never asked, God, is this the way you want it done? Because real vision is a disclosure or the revelation of the mind of God dispensed or given to a man, amen, which is in answer to the burden or the problem, according to Habakkuk. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain, so he that read it can run with it. And so God is giving individual vision, individual strategies. And it might mean that, you know, I may not have to do it the way that the people down the street do it. The church next door have done it. Maybe I need to seek God and see how God wants it done.
Amen.
Maybe we need to seek the Lord about how we do what we do. Maybe even the fact of how we worship altogether. When will we investigate this truth about women versus men in pulpits or out of the pulpits? What is God saying about the matter? I understand what the tradition and the denomination says, but what does God say? What does God say about sanctification, holiness, and righteousness? I understand what others say. Is it or is it not a dress code? What does God say? What does God say about how I give? What does God say about how I worship? What does God say about the tithe? What does God say? What does God say? What about God? What does he say if I'm going to walk in his abiding presence? Use the dies. David was the leader. And David had a shepherd's heart. And so it broke David for that to happen to his man at his expense. I understand as a pastor sometimes decisions we make, they don't just affect you no more. They affect things and people that are a part of you now. It's covenant. Remember, Noah brought people on board and they went to safety through the flood because God shut the door behind Noah. But what if Noah would have left the door open? How mean he would have fell out? There's a responsibility when you are the voice, the director, the ambition of where the Spirit of God is moving, how he's moving. It's a responsibility, a heavy one, a requirement. I tell preachers all the time, I say, you're not in the business to think. You're in the business to know. You're in the business of being right. You have to be right. You can't assume because the people are hanging on every word you teach and preach. You have to be right. You can't be prophesying and telling people stuff that you ain't really heard because people are moving on what you say. And there's a way to do it right. David is trying to restore the Ark of the Covenant, and it's in the Ark of the Covenant. This man gets killed, and what David does is he humbles himself and he returns and goes back and becomes a student. And he goes to the law, and as he studies the law, he finds that he was never ever supposed to push the cart. But he found that he was supposed to carry the ark. And not anyone was permitted to carry the ark. Only the Levites would carry the ark. The Levites were the priests. They were the priests because they were the sons of Levi. And remember, you could not be a priest unless you were a son of Aaron or Levi. Aaron represents the Aaronic order, which is the type of the fivefold ministry gift. Are the headships in your houses or churches, such as your pastor, represents that fivefold ministry gift. But then you have the Levitical priesthood, which was those that erected and prepared the sanctuary and the temple. Those are types of people who like work in the church, the ushers, the hostess, the choir members, amen, the singers, the worship leaders. They're the Levites. They're the Levitical priesthood operating in the church in that function. The Levites carried the glory. They carried it. They carried the glory. They carried that ark, the symbol of God. The Levites, the leaders of the tribes, the Levites, the priests, not the Aaronic order, which was a type of the fivefold ministry gift again. He was the prophet, the pastor, teacher, the evangelist. He was the fivefold ministry gift. They didn't carry the glory. It was the Levites. It was those that erected the temple. It was those that served in the house. It was those that handled the affairs of the living. They were the ones that the glory would be upon, the presence would be upon. And when the presence of God got upon them, then the whole tabernacle was lit. So that when the priest came in, all he had to do was walk in to the third dimension and handle his business, because the Levites had set the house in such order that, my goodness, it was on fire with the Holy Ghost. Likewise, there are people that God is going to assign to us and assign to our houses and our ministries, and he'll bring them from the north, south, east, and west, illuminated his glory. My job as the high priest is to identify them, then appoint them, lay hands on, consecrate them, set them apart for God's holy use in this house. Again, set them apart for God's holy use in this house, this operation, this ministry, this vision. This is where people go wrong. They come to ministries, they come to churches, they get anointed, they even get ordained, and they assume that because you were ordained in such and such church, that when you come over here to my church, that you're ordained in my church. No, you're not ordained in my church. That's not how that works, son. You have to understand that if you're going to operate in this house, you got to be Levitical. You got to be part of its sonship. You don't become part of this priesthood unless you're a son of this house. I don't know you. Where you come from? Paul, I know. Jesus I know, but who are you? This is about order. This is not about democracy. It's not about what people think about you. This is about order. I understand you were ordained in there, but you were ordained over there under another grace, under another vision, under another how-to. This is a different type. This is a different oil, and you got to understand the fragrance that we are. You don't get that overnight.
Amen.
So when you come over here, I know you're Reverend such and such over there, but you're Reverend sit down over here.
All right.
Because you got to get a sin of the glory over here. You got to get an understanding of the oil over here. You got to catch the vision over here. You can't uphold the glory you have no understanding about. You're the priesthood. And as a priest, you're supposed to carry the ark because you're the sons of the house. And when the sons are doing their job, trust me, there will be glory in the house. The Bible says that the sons that did so much, their work so well in one place, he said that God himself couldn't even, the priest couldn't even minister, that God himself showed up. The priest couldn't even preach. When you do it right, trust me, the preachers can't preach, the ushers can't usher, the deacons can't beat, the singers can't sing, because God will do his own service when you do it right.
Amen.
When you set it up right, trust me, you won't have to do it. All the priests have to do is just walk into that level of glory because the administrators are doing their job, the ushers are doing their job, everybody's doing their job with such earnesty and aggressiveness that when the priests come in, all he got to do is give an explanation for the move of God. He'll be like Peter. Peter stood up and said, "This is that in which the prophet Joel spoke of." In other words, just let me explain what just happened here. Let me explain this breakout. Let me explain this move of the Spirit. I don't have to preach it. It has already preached itself.
Man.
Because the house is set up. You set the house up. It's not about who types the fastest. It's not about who's going to get the credit. It's not about if they call your name. Trust and believe. Ain't nobody putting your name on no program. If you're looking for attention and somebody to pat you on the back, you better find somewhere else to fellowship because I'm not your one. Because I will not promote flesh. I will
Amen.
Not promote flesh. If you need your name called Trust and Believe, I will not call it.
Amen.
I won't call it. I won't call it. If I know you need that done, I won't do it because I'm killing your flesh. Your flesh
Amen.
Is in the way. And you can't have glory if you got flesh in the way. You still need somebody to cheer you on, pump you up. It's not about you. This is God's house. No flesh shall glory in his presence.
Thank you.
None.
Thank you, Lord.
You be so humble and ain't looking for that type of attention that by the time I call your name, you be shocked. shocked. Because I realize that that person's flesh has been crucified.
Amen.
Crucified. And too many who's who in ministry now. Everybody got to have a name. Everybody got to have a title. Everybody got to have a something. There's nobody. Hey, man, how are you doing today? Nobody just want to be their name no more. But now you got to be prophet this. You got to be prophetess that. You got to be mother that. You got to be evangelist this. You got to be, oh, my God, can you get on out of here with all of that? Because all these names and titles but have no power, have no glory, have no authority, none, and have no idea that you are stepping into a realm of the Spirit in which you are going, amen, from a place of pleasantry into a place of disaster because you are out of order.
That's it.
And you think you can put it on the way you want it and dress it up, and just because you dress nice and you got collars on don't mean that you are appointed. Don't mean that you are appointed. And let me tell you something even worse. You can be anointed and not yet appointed. And being anointed doesn't even mean that you are approved.
All right.
And this is where God is calling us up to because he wants us to give voice to these areas because there are too many young preachers that are coming up now and social media world have driven everybody crazy to the point that everybody thinks they T.D. Jakes now. Baby, just because it is popular doesn't mean that it is God. And he said something, bring some clarity. David was the king. And the king was anointed along with the prophet and the priest. So he was anointed, but he failed. Because your anointing doesn't mean that you are right. And the anointing could accumulate the gathering of wrong things as well as it can good things. Just because people showed up don't mean that it's godly. He's anointed. He is the king. He is in charge. But he is a leader that is out of, he is out of order. Not only is he out of order, he is now out of sort. And I'd like to say to you that David's issue with the glory, his wrestling match with the presence of God, was not because he didn't have the right heart. And it's not because he was all out of order. Because if he would knew the way, he would have did the way. But he missed the way because he was out of sort. And sometimes when you are out of sort, you miss the fine print, the writing on the wall. And that is a weaponry against you. David still had some weaknesses in his armor. He says, if it seemed right, he's still struggling with the spirit of rejection, being left from his left by never. Notice that he never was considered by his father, and you never ever heard him ever talk about his mama. David is out of sorts. To the point that he allowed the Ark of the Covenant to go into Edom's house. And while he went and studied, guess where he studied at? He studied at his house, and he found out how to get the glory of God back. But notice where he did it. The Bible says in chapter 15 that David built a house for himself and a house for God. Why did he have to build one for himself first? Because if your personal life is out of sorts, it's going to affect your ministry life, and because your ministry life will affect your personal life. And this is why you got to bring yourself into some levels of order if you expect to have glory upon your ministry.
Come on.
And you can't do this if you are out of sorts. Walking in denial. That yes, the house of God will look wonderful with this ark in here, but if you don't stop and pay attention, that something is wrong in here with me, not the house. We got to build a house for yourself, then you build a house
Amen.
For God.
Amen.
And I understand that it is humbling, and I understand that it will cost you something. Amen. But baby, you got to stop sometime and say, I got to get me in sorts. And this is what ministers and pastors and those that serve in ministry, this is why they get burnt out. Because they keep moving in ministry, but not looking at the mess of life that's going on around you. And you cover it up because you got annual days and tamarines playing before you, and people think it look good around the people, but not realizing when you turn the organ off, hit the lights, and you walk out that door, drive out that parking lot, if something is out of sorts. And it's only so long that it can be out of sorts before even the glory goes crazy. What do you do when your personal storm is going on? And you got to walk through a personal storm with hail and lightning and thunder and rain and clouds. Personal storms going on simultaneously with a spiritual war.
Come on.
And you're required to pull both of them together. You don't get them together, something pronouncedly bad could happen. There's a war going on. There's a battle between two houses, yours and God. Oh. I just wish I had time to talk to some reverends and just say, hey, man, I understand the pulpit committee is doing well, but how is the committee of your home? Oh, it looks nice on the outside what you're doing, all that you're doing. I see that you're doing it well and awesome, energetic, and enthusiasm. But how are things at home? Because the truth doesn't matter when God gets a hold of people. You notice throughout the scripture when God healed a man, told that man, pick up your bed and walk, and he sent him back to his house. Took him back to a place he can get revelation and vision. So he can come out with his face lit up on fire for God again. He says, foxes have holes. And birds have nests.
Come on.
But the Son of Man has no place to lay his head.
Come on.
And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not. Is there anybody that can guarantee with the way that life is going, this war in the spirit, this out of sortness in personal life, can anybody guarantee that you will not grow weary? Can anybody guarantee that you're going to reap? Matter of fact, are you sure that you can reap, especially with all the things that are going on to make you weary? Obvious,
right?
Because you're missing steps and you're missing moments and you're missing things that are normally, because there's a storm going on and a war at the same time.
Come on.
How do I pull it together, God?
Yeah.
David went to the Pentateuch and he got the understanding. And one of the things he understood is I don't have to do everything. I just need to find me some sons. And when I find my sons, they'll carry the glory. They'll set it on fire. And they'll make sure that no weapon formed against you will prosper. They'll become your tool in your hand, your staff that parts the sea. They'll be all of that and some more. They'll be your team. They'll be what's necessary to get to the next moment, to the next level. When some disaster come in at your in your way, they'll handle every issue. When the big bad wolf comes to huff and puff and to blow your house down, they'll run outside with a stick and say, get away from this house. Man of God is going up in God's glory right through here. When disaster comes and trial comes to the ministry, they'll stand up and say, hold it, that's enough right there.
All right.
He's not taking that meeting today.
Amen.
We need him to keep his hands up so Joshua could keep his hands on the battle so that we all can have victory in here. We are a place of order. There's a place of structure. There's a place of protocol. There's a place of organization. And upon his shoulders, the increase of his government shall prosper us. We got rank up in here. Orderly house. It's the house of God.
Yep.
Carries the glory. This divinity that covers my humanity. Oh. In other words, the reason I walk in so much glory is because I understand that underneath here I ain't nothing but some wood. I'm covered. I walk in such power because I'm covered. I walk in such peace because I'm covered. And my song is,
come
if
on.
It had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me where would I be? Where would I be? Oh, God, I cover you.
Hallelujah.
Protect
Hallelujah.
You in his divinity.
You,
won't let
Thank
nobody
you,
see
Thank
your humanity
you,
while he'll
Thank
invest
you,
a word of revelation on the inside of you and allow flame to reside on top of you. They'll know you, they're his man. Even when they hating on you, they know you're his. Even when they trying to kill you, they know you're his. Why? because there's a flame that's burning between them wings of that messenger. It ain't that he's just preaching and teaching. It's what's on top of what he's preaching and teaching. It ain't what he said or even how he said it. It's what's with it, what he's saying. It is the presence of God. I don't know the last time I've been to a service where the presence of God wasn't in that place. Because I tell you all the time that if he wasn't there before, I got there. Once I walk in the room, I bring him in there with me.
Hmm. Come on.
Every time I minister, I say, Lord, unless you minister, there will be no ministry.
All right.
You preach, there will be no preacher. If you don't heal, there will be no healing.
Come on.
Don't allow the people to see me, but let yourself shine forth now. Hide me behind you and let you be the way.
Yes, God.
Here's
yes,
everything
God.
About me. I'm totally committed to you.
Mm.
Submitted to your will. Spirit, soul, and body, use it for your glory. And let's
glory.
Go out and bless your people. When you speak, I'll speak, and when you're done, I'll be done. People say, well, how did he preach? How did he have the strength to stand? I know he didn't been bit by a snake, been burned by fire, and the natives are watching to see if he's going to swell up and die. And he make it through that. How does he do that? It is the presence of God that makes the difference. You get weak. You get hungry. You have natural appetites. That's wood. That's humanity. But it's recognizing you got it. So you can submit it to God so he can cover it. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? Let God cover you.
Yes.
Let God cover you. By accepting that you got some weaknesses. We so busy playing tambourine that we have forgot we got weaknesses.
Yes.
I understand they got weaknesses, but we got weaknesses.
Yes.
I understand that they got some flimsy and some flimsy parts, but we do too. And in respect to my weaknesses, in your private time, you need to lift your hands and say, God, cover me with your glory.
Yes. Cover me, Lord.
Lord, you know I can be a fool.
Yes.
Don't let me play the fool no more. Cover me.
Cover me, God.
Lord, you know I'm weak. Without you, I am nothing. I'm as a filthy rag. I humble myself so I don't have to be humbled. Cover me. I know, God, that the glory of God covers me, but I understand, Father, that I speak like this because you're with me, not me. And therefore, everything that I am, everything I do, I give it back to you. And I say, crucify this flesh, Lord, so that you may glory even further. You understand what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
You don't get just to do it the way you want to do it. You don't get to just have it because it feels good. Mm. Or even because people agree with you. I know you're gifted, and this is hard amongst gifted people because they believe because they're gifted. The gift is meant to edify. Yes, it's going to encourage. But if you be honest with yourself, that gift don't edify you. And that's because being anointed doesn't mean you're approved. The anointing is the ability of God upon your ability. It gives you the ability to do something you couldn't do without his ability. It is for his use, not yours. God uses you.
Come on.
Paul says in himself, he said, I can preach the gospel and still be on my way to hell. I have to work out my own soul salvation now.
Yes.
I got to walk right too. I got to walk by faith too. Preaching man, I know you all of that and some more, but you got to walk by faith. And I know your church is growing and people are getting to know you and they call your name, you get invites, but you got to walk by faith still. You still got to respect that blood. You still got to consecrate yourself. Set yourself apart. Distinguish yourself for God's glory. Yeah. And it's not until you really get, because it seems like the higher up you get, the more members you get, you forget. Those that's going to walk in real power and authority and glory, they will understand that if it had not been for the Lord on my side,
come on,
tell me where would I be?
Where would I be?
Where would I be? Yes, they understand that.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
They know he kept their enemies away. Ain't that the next part? Woo! He allowed the sun to shine through a cloudy day.
Yes.
He rocks you in the cradle of his own. That's what he does for you. You understand that. You never get to the place where you think you all of that and some more.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
You understand me?
Yes.
Even when you're boasting, David said, I will boast in the Lord. Paul says, if I'm an apostle, no doubt I'm an apostle to you all, but I'm only that because God called me that. You understand me? I'm only what he says I am. And without him, I can do nothing. I am nothing without him. And trust me, when you got a real assignment and real calling from God, you don't have to try to be humble. Trust me. The devil will make sure you stay humble. The devil will make sure you stay on your knees if you really called of God. If you got some real power on your life, trust and believe, you will have some real attacks. Some real Lucifer drug out demonic battles that requires your humility in order for the power of God to intervene. So now, as God is raising me up, bringing me out, I just want to go tell some preachers, calm down. And I believe God is going to make our name great, just so we can have the seniority and authority to go tell some people, calm down. Relax, man. I understand that you're gifted and you can teach and preach and all that other stuff. But this is a life of humility we got to walk. We got to humble ourselves. We still got to seek his face. We still got to lay out before him and consecrate our lives to him. We still do. I know you got ordination papers, but calm down. I know you got 1,500 people in your church. Calm down. I know you're driving a nice car now. Calm down. Because there's a way that seems right, but far from the way that we should be. You've been struggling with some stuff. God said you've been out of sort, man. That has been the attack on your life. Because when you're out of sort and everything else is out of sort, and you're so filled with that glory, so filled with that anointing, that it accomplishes his job. But God wants to take the ark up now. He wants to take it to another level. But you understand, there's a way that you handle this thing. Remember, he told Joshua, he says, give yourself some space between the Ark of the Covenant, between you and it. For you've never walked this way before. You've never walked this way before. You've never gone this way before. You ain't never been this close to this glory. You ain't never been this close to this level of anointing. You ain't never been this close. So give yourself some space. Get familiar with it. Take your time with it. Learn. Get understanding. It's coming. You're just going up at another level. God's trying to teach you how to walk in this new level now. But while you're going for it, it's like things are popping out of sort in your own personal life. And you're saying, God, I need you to pull this stuff together now. And God said, it's already together. You have all the ingredients. Just let me show you how to put them together. Let me show you how to put them together. When the prophet came and asked for the woman to make him a cake, she said, I don't have nothing. I just have this little flour and this little oil. Got this little stuff that me and my son won't take. We're going to die. And what the prophetic word of God came to do was she didn't have a cake. But that prophetic word, I heard somebody say, gave her instructions and showed her how to use and make a cake. He had everything that she needed. He showed her what she had. Showed her how to put it together. Showed her how to work it. That's what the word of the Lord is coming to you for. It's coming to show you how to work it, put it together. Make it happen, Captain. Are you understanding the words coming out of my mouth? He's trying to get you full of his glory. His glory. His glory. You made some mistakes, but you can go back and correct those mistakes. You can correct them. David, the Bible says in chapter 15, built a house for himself in the city of David, and he prepared a place for the ark of God, and he pitched a tent for it. Then David said, no one may carry the ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of God and to minister before him forever. And David gathered all Israel together at Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord to its place, which he had prepared for it. Verse 12. And he said to them, you are the heads of the father, that is, to the priest. He says, sanctify yourselves, you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God, Israel, to the place I prepared for it. For because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not consult him about the proper order. It was a good idea. It was just a good idea out of order. But not only was it a good idea that was just out of order, the Bible says because y'all didn't consult me, God said it was out of order. And I never got that until now. He said, because you didn't consult with me, that's how it got out of order. But it's not that David didn't consult. He just didn't consult with God. He consulted with the people. And he said to the people, what do y'all think about this? And when they gave him approval, he moved in. But God said, you didn't consult with me. If you would have consulted with me, Uzzah would have never had to die. How much stuff is falling around you? It might be that there's some place that you're out of order. I called my banker, I called my lawyer, I called my friends, my cousins, my mothers, and everybody, but I did not consult with him about the proper order. God, where do you want me to be? How do you want me to be? Where do you want me to pledge my loyalty, my allegiance, my commitment? Where do you want it, God? What do you want from me? I'll trust in you with all my heart. What do you want from me? Teach me your ways, Lord. What do you want from me? What do you want? I'm tired now. I've rid myself of all this flesh, and I seek you now. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Tonight, somebody is saying to the Lord, what do you want? There's some key and specific areas in your life. You're saying, Lord, what do you want in my life? What do you want in my finance? What do you want in my marriage? What do you want in my ministry? What do you want concerning me and my children? What do you want? How do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Lord, I've done it all on my own. What do you want? What do you want now? What do you want? I'm done. I'm at the end of me. I'm tired of me. What do you want? I'm talking to that person tonight, but they're saying, hey, what do you want? I'm done with me. I want what you want. I want it how you want it. What do you want, God? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want from me right here? What do you want? David asked the question as it related to his enemies. He said, Lord, shall I pursue them? In other words, he didn't just go to battle because he could. He sought the Lord before he went to battle, and therefore God gave him victory. What do you want, Lord? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want, Lord? What do you want? Tell me, where would I be? Where would I be if it had not been for the Lord on my side? Tell me, where would I be? Where would I be?
Where, Lord?
Throw your hands up and say, Lord, I thank you.
Well,
thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. And even when I was foolishness, I was carrying and pushing the ark, when I was mishandling your presence, not recognizing your glory on my life, Lord, you covered me. So I just throw my hands up and say, thank you, God. I surrender, and I say, Lord, I repent, and I turn from my ways now, and I want to run back to you now, Lord. Right my wrongs, I surrender. Sanctify me again. Wash me with your word. Cover me and cleanse me with your blood, Lord. I surrender and come back. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Here I am. All of me loves all of you again. God, here it is. I'm done. I'm at the end of it. And I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. I'm surrendering it all. All of it. I can't handle none of it, so here's all of it. That's somebody's confession tonight. I can't handle none of it. So, Lord, here is all of it. You take all of it. All of it.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
That part that you want to give back, you'll equip me for it. But right now, here's all of it. And wash my hands to it. Dust the dust off my feet. Here's all of it.
Yes, Lord.
All of it. All of it. Every concern, every pain, all the confusion, Lord, here it all. Work it out for your glory and your good. In the name of Jesus. Bless you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing, your grace, and your power. Move upon your people that are under the sound of my voice. Let them hear, Father, from heaven, that they can turn from their ways, and that you can heal the land right now. Heal our land. Heal our hearts. Heal our soul. We surrender all. 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 As we go to rest tonight, Lord, we lift every burden off of us. Every burden. Somebody may not be on their way to bed, but may be on their way to work. We still lift the burden. Lift the burden, because we release. We release. We release to everything that we failed at, failed in. We release. We're not failures, because we fail forward. We're getting better at it. We release. And we lift our hands to you again, and we say, Lord, we give ourselves away so that you may use us for your glory. We surrender all. Now, Lord, fill us with wisdom. Give us knowledge. Give us understanding of that which you would want us to know. And again, Lord, we repent. We draw near to you, that you may draw near to us.
Yes.
We thank you, Holy Spirit, for lording over us now. We thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for even a broken spirit and a contrite heart. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' awesome name we pray. Amen. And amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. God bless your heart, people of God. May it be full of joy. Joy. May it flood your soul now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless you all. Have an awesome night. Awesome
name
night.
Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
sweet
name.
Lamb.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yes, God. Good night, family. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Good night.